Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. In this program, I'm going to move forward into verse 19, but before I do, I'd like to review a little bit about verses 17 and 18 in order to appreciate what Paul describes in verse 19. Beginning in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." And what he was fundamentally doing was describing the condition of a lost person or a person who simply does not know the Lord. And this is not unique to anyone in the history of humanity, even up to this day, who doesn't know the Lord. People will express the emptiness that is within them in various ways. Now, in going into the following verses in chapter 4, as I mentioned in a previous program, it's very easy for us to look at these verses and consider them as being a list of things that we are to be sure we do not do and things that we are to do. And of course, we do need to be very careful with that kind of an approach because it can be very easy for us to establish a way of life, a standard of good and evil. It can be very easy for us to define a law through which we live by. Of course, when we fail to live in complete obedience to the law that we define, we will find ourselves feeling as though we are rejected from our God, and there are all kinds of consequences that can result from that. And so I'm wanting you to look at these passages from a different point of view, from the perspective of these being indicators that a person is alienated from the life of God, or another way to say this is to say that a person is alienated from the love and the acceptance of God. The solution is not to just come up with a list of things that we should and should not be doing. The solution will be to embrace what our God has done for us, to believe, trust in, and rely on the love and acceptance that he already has for us. And that if these are indicators of the absence of this relationship that we are to have with our God, well, then we are to be encouraged to pursue more of what it means to be connected to our God rather than alienated from him. If we do take the approach of considering this to be the standard way of life, the laws that we live by, then we will be further pushed away from our God because we will be alienated from his love and acceptance and his life as we are connected more and more to the law. And this is a summary of what I've been presenting in the previous programs. Moving forward into verse 19, he said, "Who being past feeling," referring to the Gentiles who are alienated from the life of God, and of course there is an abundance of people like this, "but who," these people, "being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." All right, now I'm going to start with the end of this verse and work my way forward. But before I do, let me go back to the beginning just briefly. "Who being past feeling," now of course, people are still feeling. It is not as though they are past it or as though they don't have any feelings anymore. They really do. There will be no shortage of feelings within a person. But if you are relating to a person who apparently has a lack of feelings, what this is probably going to tell you is that this person has made some committed decisions that have resulted in a change in the way that they get their feelings met, to the extent where you are irrelevant and they have no consideration for you at all. Chances are that's what you're looking at. I have found in the overwhelming majority of cases where people have a lack of feelings or they seem to be past feelings, that usually is because they have made some serious decisions about how they are going to relate to other people, and that it's not really a lack of feelings, it's just the way that they have decided to fulfill the deep feelings that they have. But I'll come back to that in a little bit. Continuing into verse 19, having given themselves over to lewdness. All right, now this is a word that generally means indecency, obscenity, vulgar character, or behavior. In general, what people are doing is they're doing things so that other people will hopefully like them, which seems to be a little disconnected from the idea of being past feelings. But remember what I just said, that it has to do with a decision about how they are going to have their feelings met, how they are going to have their needs met. I'll come back to this again in a little bit. To work all uncleanness with greediness. All right, now I'm going to spend some time with the subject of greediness, and then I'll go back to uncleanness, lewdness, past feelings, those sort of things. Now, greediness can probably be described as a person being quite selfish, that they are trying to acquire things well above and beyond what they genuinely need, that the greediness has to do with the acquisition of what they might be able to obtain in the world, either material possessions, wealth, fame. There are lots of different ways to describe what a person might be greedy for. What I would like to focus on as it relates to these passages, though, is the idea that it shows that a person does not have what they genuinely need in order to experience peace in their heart. That, to me, is a better way to understand what this word can represent, the idea of greediness, is it represents the fact that a person feels empty. They feel as though they do not have what they need. And it turns out that a lot of people do live their lives in a way that they are relentlessly trying to obtain more than what they have. They're trying to obtain more for the purpose of feeling some sense of peace in their hearts, in their being. That this tends to be the motivation that drives a person towards some sense of greediness, or that people would see them as greedy, as not wanting to share what they may be able to acquire or what they have acquired, that they are greedy, they are selfish for themselves, believing that the more that they have, the happier they will be, the more they will feel good about themselves. So again, at the beginning of this verse, when it says past feeling, it doesn't mean that they're past feeling. It means that they obtain fulfillment for their feelings in different ways. And this pursuit of possession, or this pursuit of fame or fortune, these pursuits are ways to fulfill the empty feelings that a person has deep down inside, and in a way that people will not usually notice. Because, of course, other people are quite selfish themselves. You know, people are wanting to have what other people have. They're wanting to have what they might be able to gain in the life and in the world that they are having. And so when they see that other people might have more than they do, well, then, you know, you have some coveting going on. There's all kinds of dynamics that take place within a person that can keep them from really seeing what's going on in the heart of someone else. And that is that a person feels that they will be fulfilled in the deepest part of their being through their acquisition of more, whatever that more might be. I think that that is what Paul is intending to say when he speaks about greediness. And this indicates that a person feels empty, that they feel as though they do not have what they genuinely need. Now, of course, we don't really need as much as most of us think we do. It just turns out to be the case. It can be very easy for us to think about what we do not have. It can be very easy to do that and not pause long enough to really appreciate the things that we do have and to be thankful for what we do have in our lives. So as a person engages the world that they are a part of, and they acquire, and they acquire, and they gain, and they collect, and they build all this stuff that they may warehouse in some way in the environment that they are in, you know, in general, these kinds of things that people obtain to fulfill their sense of greediness, these kinds of things require some sense of maintenance of some kind. You know, these things have to be taken care of. But it turns out that the more that you have, the more that you have to take care of. And if you don't take care of what it is that you have, well, then you're going to find yourself in a situation of uncleanness, which is why I think Paul put these two words together. He put these two words together at the end of verse 19 to work all uncleanness with greediness, because you're going to have a lot of uncleanness if you were exceptionally greedy and you don't take care of what you were able to obtain. This tends to be a characteristic of those who are greedy. And then how do they feel, especially when they start to realize that they are not taking good care of what it was that they were able to acquire, that they are ending up being unclean people in many different ways? Then what happens to their feelings from there? Well, they're going to have to find new ways to suppress their feelings, to decide how they are going to value what. And it turns out that because it can require a significant amount of effort and labor to take care of those things that you already have, people will tend to just simply avoid that in one way or another, and they will express the idea that they simply don't really care. They will give that impression, but it really isn't a matter of them not caring. It's just that they don't care enough in order to take care of what they have. They would rather just go out and see what they could do about fulfilling their need or their desire for greediness, because of course none of the stuff that they were able to acquire really met that need. And then there is this compounding neglect that begins to build and take over a person's life in many ways. It demonstrates the futility of that way of life. It demonstrates the emptiness of that way of life. Again, these are just indicators of a person being alienated from the love of God, from the acceptance of God. Going back towards the beginning of the verse, he says, have given themselves over to lewdness. You know, I mean, this idea of indecency, obscenity, vulgar character and behavior, where is this coming from? Why would a person express this idea of lewdness? I mean, what are they really doing? In general, what people are doing is they are trying to obtain acceptance from somebody else. They certainly will not have been able to fulfill the deepest desire that they have for acceptance in the things that they were able to acquire through greediness and other things that they could participate in. And so out of desperation, in many cases, people engage in lewd activity out of desperation, with hope that through that kind of vulgar, obscene behavior, which will of course draw the attention of other people more than polite, non-lewd behavior, you certainly will draw the attention of a lot more people. There will be a greater opportunity to feel a sense of acceptance, that people will maybe like you, that people will want you to be around them. The lewd behavior, the obscene behavior, is not to offend people, but instead to attract them, because you are attracting them on a deeper, intimate kind of level that other people would not be so interested in connecting with those people on this kind of a level. This is an expression of somebody who has a deep need to be accepted. And so when you have someone expressing greediness, this is a way to demonstrate the emptiness that they have within them in general. And it is a way, these are ways that people try to find fulfillment, usually through the acquisition of stuff of which they're not going to take care of, which leads to the uncleanness. But there are other ways that people will try to meet the deepest needs of their hearts. And this has to do with the acceptance, which will lead a person or tempt a person into behaving quite lewdly towards others in the community that they are a part of, and it will give the impression that these people, through these kinds of indecent and obscene behavior, that they have some lack of feeling, that they don't feel as much, you know, that they are able to participate in these kinds of activities in a way that they don't feel ashamed of what they are doing like other people would. There is the appearance that they are past feeling, but this is not what's going on. What is going on is that they have made a decision that they are going to ignore certain ways that they try to get their feelings fulfilled, and they are going to pursue other ways to get their feelings fulfilled. And so on one level, from one point of view, you would say that they don't seem to be feeling much at all. But on another level, you need to see that deep down inside, they're participating in these kinds of indecent and obscene behaviors because they have a deep emptiness within them, that they really have a deep need for acceptance, for love, to be desired by somebody else in some way. And so they're willing to let go of some feelings intentionally in order to hopefully have other feelings fulfilled more than they would be otherwise. So to say that they are past feeling is just the appearance. It's not an indicator that they have no feelings. It is an indicator that they have decided that they want some feelings fulfilled more than others, and that they are willing to let go of some feelings with hope that they will have an increased fulfillment with others. I really do believe that this is a better way of looking at verse 19, which says again, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. All right, now what the church will tend to do is to look at this and say, okay, now look at this, verse 19. It says, don't be indecent and obscene in public. Make sure you don't do that. You know, you don't behave in a way that would be considered to be lewd. You know, let's not have any lewdness. You could also look at this and say, all right, now make sure that if you do have stuff, that you take good care of it. You know, that you're not unclean about your stuff that you were really greedy to obtain. And what you've got is you've got the beginning of a list. You know, you got the beginning of a set of laws that the Christian is supposed to live by. And we're supposed to look at our lives and the way that we relate to the world around us and make sure that we make decisions and that we live in a way that we don't have these kinds of things in our lives. Now, you know, it just so happens that in going through the Mosaic Law, you will find that there really isn't much of an indication in the Mosaic Law that says that you are not to engage in lewd behavior. There's just not a lot there that you can point at and say that God said thou shalt not engage in indecent and obscene behavior. That's just not really a part of the Mosaic Law. And greediness is not really found in the Mosaic Law so much. You could perhaps leverage coveting. You could maybe leverage love your neighbor as yourself. But that's what you'd be doing, is you're going to be leveraging other laws in order to say, you know, this kind of applies over here in this way. We could apply this law into the idea of greediness. You know, why didn't God just issue a commandment to say, thou shalt not be greedy? We don't have anything like that. When it comes to uncleanness, this has to do with ritual uncleanness in the sense that you ate something you weren't supposed to eat, or you touched an insect. You know, I mean, there are various ways that a person could become ritually unclean. And of course, there was a way to resolve that. You just simply get baptized or immerse yourself in water and you're good to go. In some cases, you'd have to leave the camp until evening. You know, but either way, there were ways to resolve that. If we look at it here, the idea of uncleanness, it does not appear to be related to the uncleanness that is referred to, for the most part, in the Mosaic Law. My point is to show you that we have admonitions here, that Paul is saying things to the Ephesians, telling them, look, Don't let these things be a part of your life, and yet these are just simply not well described in the Mosaic Law. And so for us to even take the approach of looking at these passages and saying that this is something you are to obey, you know, repent and obey, for us to take that kind of an attitude goes outside of the boundaries of the intent of the law of God. These kinds of behaviors certainly can have a relational effect in people's lives. And so I don't want to encourage people to be lewd or to be greedy and express uncleanness, because of course this is going to be something that affects negatively your relationships with other people. And we don't want that to happen, because it's through our relationships with other people that other people may get to know the Lord. But for us to say that this would have something to do with our relationship with our God, I think, can be a little bit of a stretch. And so I don't want to suggest that these are things that we should look at from the perspective of here's the list, here's the law of a Christian, this is what defines obedience and also disobedience if you fail to do that. I don't think that this is what he's trying to say. I really do believe that he's saying that these are ways to understand how a person will display their alienation from their God. But even if a person is well connected to their God, if they're a little greedy now and then, does that mean that they don't know the Lord anymore? Does that mean they're going to hell? You know, what happens if they express some kind of obscene and indecent behavior? You know, I certainly don't want to encourage that, but are we going to say that a person is lost and they're going to hell? They no longer have a relationship with God. They may not have even been saved before to begin with. Are we really going to get into that? I just don't think that that's going to be constructive or useful. If you want these kinds of things to be reduced, these are things that will be reduced as the Holy Spirit guides a person personally and individually in their lives as he grows and matures them in the faith. And that's what Paul refers to in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. As we learn Christ, as we get to know our God, our Messiah, our Savior, as we relate to him, as he relates to us, he will direct us, he will grow us, he will mature us, and he will guide us in our lives in a way that we will find ourselves living in a way that will show a decrease of greediness. Why? Because he deals with the reasons why a person would be greedy. He will deal with the reasons why a person might express indecent or obscene behavior. Why pursue acceptance from others in that way, in such an exaggerated way, when you are accepted in Christ Jesus, you are accepted by your God, if you have learned that you have been accepted by him. So to say you have not so learned Christ should mean that you have learned about the love and acceptance of God. It does not mean that you have learned all of the additional laws that we need to add to the law of Moses in order to say that you are a good person according to God's standards. I will continue with this in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.